like an avocado pit is like the top of a gear shift thing. Like, yeah, it's the knob of a gear shift.
Yes. It's basically like if you covered a golf ball in WD-40. Good morning and welcome to the Good Stuff Morning Show, the podcast best served sunny side up. I'm your host, Kyle Roderick.
And I'm Kenny Roderick.
And Kenny, I'm sick.
Oh,
I'm real sick.
What are you doing this for?
Well, mainly because last week we couldn't be here because I had four continuous holes that went directly into my jawbone from my mouth. And so I could not speak very well at all. We had a bit of a game session a few days after I had those teeth out, those fine, wise teeth that no longer inhabit my mouth. And I was a mess. I couldn't laugh. I mean, imagine that. This show, this one here that makes me laugh so much in the morning, I wouldn't be able to enjoy at all. You, the listener, would probably enjoy that thoroughly. However,
oh, I did.
Yeah. Yes, you did. You and your wife would not stop laughing at me. So thanks. I've got to say thank you for that. But I needed to take a little bit of break. And in the meantime, in that breaking time, I got real, real sick, like real life sick, not just, you know, you had surgical instruments in your mouth sick and you've been taking amoxicillin for a week and a half. No, sick. Like here's why I think I was sick.
You know, did someone sneeze into your wisdom hole?
Pretty much.
It's disgusting.
So go ahead and write that one down for a title, by the way. So when I was being taken to this surgical room to have this procedure done, I'll make this quick. They put a very, very small device over your nose. Uh-huh. So that you can breathe the nitrous oxide oxygen mixture and relax you. They tell you basically don't breathe out of your mouth. Breathe only through your nose. Breathe that aerous mixture and try and fall asleep. So here I am trying to relax, trying to get this thing going. Uh-huh. And they do two things.
Tooth things.
Thank you. Boom. They do tooth things there. They also did two things that really, really bothered me. One was when I was trying to fall asleep and before they would do the IV sedation portion, they had what I believe auditorily sounded like a student who had never put an IV into a human being before.
Oh, no.
Ever. Which... great. I understand you need to learn and find the veins on people, but please, please, please tell me that you're a student and you're going to try to do this for the first time ever. There were four people around this person and I had my eyes closed. I was just leaning back. They probably thought I was asleep. I wasn't. I was completely awake. And here they are trying to guide this 1.5-inch needle into my hand. Oh, yeah, boy.
Well, I think in that case, unless they were doing, like, they have to have told you something, right?
No, they didn't. They said that they were.
Wouldn't they say, hey, Kyle, while you're falling asleep and we're all just hanging out in here, you're going to be the guinea pig for our new guy.
Nope.
No consent.
Nope. Zero. So that's fine. Whatever forms I signed must have said, we don't have to tell you anything and anyone and everyone will come into this room when you are asleep. So that's fine. Number two was right as I was going under with both the IV sedation and that little nose thing.
Yeah.
Someone came in the room coughing.
Oh,
saying
with a mask?
Boy, no, absolutely not. She coughed onto the surgical equipment that she was taking out of the sterile bags that were sitting on, you know, those real typical doctor trays, right? The silver, the silver ones with the little blue paper.
Like you're putting them into a toaster oven.
Yes, exactly. They did not go into a toaster oven. They went into the bacterial oven that is my mouth. And so here I am, man, sucking on whatever viral infection this person has now. And a week, almost a week later, it started to show symptoms, and I am in the thick of it now. So here's something. I need your help.
Okay.
I don't think I can go to work today.
Ooh.
Or school, because I go to school now. You know, yeah, you gotta, I need an out here, and I need your help, because they're not going to let me get away with this. My mom is not going to help me write a sick letter. My doctor is not going to help write a sick letter. What doctor has time for that? So I need your help, Kenny.
Okay, because I'm the most qualified.
We're going to play a game of, I guess, in this context, we're going to call it Bad Libs. Mainly because I can't say the letter M. So
you just did.
The first one
Bad
here.
Bad Libs.
Last name that is not yours.
Smith.
Silly word.
Kablam. I think I've used that one before.
Last name that is not yours.
I don't know. Gonzalez.
My doctor was Gonzalez. Illness.
Illness. Stomach flu.
Wow, that's a real heavy one. I don't. How long is it going to last?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. Noun.
A noun. Mouse.
Adjective.
Adjective. Flat.
Another adjective, please.
Hot.
Silly word.
Silly word. Boozle.
That's a good one. Number.
12,000.
Okay. Place.
The cafeteria.
Number.
51.
Noun.
Coffee. I just drink coffee.
And last one. Last name that is not yours.
Last name is not mine again. I got to think of a lot of people.
Come on.
Trump.
Oh, goodness gracious. Okay. That's fine. Let's play it.
Okay.
Dear school nurse, Miss Smith. We're going with traditional gender roles, I believe, in this one. Fine. Good. Okay. Thanks, wordblanks.com. Kablam Gonzalez will not be attending school today. I guess that's me, right? That's me.
You are Kablam Gonzalez. I'm
Kablam Gonzalez. He has come down with a case of stomach flu and has a horrible mouse and a flat fever. We have made an appointment with the hot Dr. Boozle.
Oh, my.
Who studied for 12,000 years in the cafeteria and has 51 degrees in pediatrics. He will send you all the coffee you need. Thank you. Sincerely, Mrs. Trump.
Ding.
And with that, let's get to some breaking news, eh? What's going on?
Oh, Kyle, Yahoo and Verizon announced today, this morning, that they have amended terms of the agreement of purchase, reducing the value of the deal by $350 million. In addition, both Verizon and Yahoo will share legal and regulatory liabilities from Yahoo's recent data breaches.
Ooh. Yuck.
Yeah. So when it was announced, what was that, like 6 months ago, the original deal was $4.8 billion. It is now $4.48 billion. Oh, Yahoo, come on.
Someone needed to just move that decimal over one more.
Yeah, $448 million. Right,
that's what the original figure was. They just dropped that off. I mean, it was fake news. It wasn't, you know, reported properly. It's fine. It doesn't matter.
Man, but so Yahoo, I think since the since the deal was announced, they've come forward with, I think, two data breaches that they've had. Like they've shared that, oh, it happened a couple years ago. Sorry.
Which is probably just a small fraction of the true amount that has truly happened in that time.
Right.
This seems like a okay deal, I guess, for Verizon, where they're getting a little bit of a reduction. But Yahoo can't be worth this much, right?
They have stake in a lot of restaurants. They have stake in
yuck.
They have a lot of, I think, different business ventures that are far reaching. And that's what, and Verizon, I think, is purchasing them for that reach.
They want all of that. I understand. I understand.
Not for what we remember Yahoo being, as a search engine, a terrible mail service. we remember them that way, but that's not really their core business at all.
I love those Yahoo chat rooms, though.
Oh, Yahoo Best Answer.
The only answer, the only place I get my bad libbed notes for the doctor from.
Oh, Kyle, you want me to tell you some other stories?
Yeah, what's going on? I mean, we haven't been here
some
for
other
a
headlines.
Week. Yeah, we haven't been here for a week and a half. So what else is going on in the world? What have we missed?
Kyle, the world's first rideable hover bike looks cool, but will probably kill you. It's from a company called HoverSurf. It's a Russian company that builds drones, and they posted a video last week showing off its latest prototype, the Scorpion 3, a single-seat electric-powered hover bike that looks cool.
Can we just drone
with a seat on it?
Please just stop right there. This was going around yesterday. All the news outlets talking about it. This looks super dangerous.
Oh, totally.
Not only are those blades not covered, because I guess it needs to create whatever upward force is necessary to make that thing fly. It needs to do it unimpeded. It just has to go straight into all of the air that is surrounding the person in the middle. But they need some sort of cocoon, or like maybe wear Kevlar or plastic shielding, something.
Well, yeah. Something like a ring around the blade, right?
Yes. Some
shield.
The old childhood fable, ring around the blade, pocket full of replacement blades. Ashes. We all get chopped up into the world's first rideable hover bike.
I do want to say that the manufacturers say that they wanted to combine a motorcycle with a quadcopter drone, and they wanted to create, quote, an extreme sports instrument.
It'll be real extreme when you have at least 3 out of 12 deaths every lap. That'll be fine.
It's not really the very first hover bike. YouTube sensation and inventor Colin Furze showed off his hover bike last year, which does legitimately hover for short periods of time. And the U.S. Department of Defense recently announced a deal with Malloy Aeronautics, a UK-based company, to develop the vehicle for the U.S. Army. That's cool.
Sounds pretty good.
That sounds like Battlefield 2142 tech.
Yeah. Right there. Give me that. The problem is with the word hover or hovercraft, traditionally has been something that, yes, it is on a pocket of air, but it totally touches the ground still.
Right. You don't call it a hover drone.
Yes. The idea that you would be able to completely be off the ground, it needs some other designation. It's not hover.
And not flying?
It's not. It's kind of flying, but I need to know whether or not it can go up to it. There's got to be a distinction, an FAA distinction for flying versus hovering, right?
Ah, yes.
Get
on it, guys.
I would assume so. Please don't get on this. That's a very bad, bad thing.
What else do they have going on?
Well, let's talk about NASA.
Okay, Kyle.
Real quick.
Real quick.
Because this is sort of a non-headline story for the day.
But it could be.
But it potentially could be. You remember our segment? Hey, remember when we talked about could be a headline, but probably isn't? NASA is set to announce a discovery about planets outside our solar system. Potentially. On Wednesday, they've got this announcement coming. It's going to be streamed and broadcast on NASA television and the agency's website. So wait for that. But it's on Wednesday. They'll have some people who know what they're talking about being on there, talking to you, saying something about planets. I don't know if it if this is the famed Nibiru planet that we're supposed to collide with or not, but we'll find out. I'm scared.
That's comforting to
yeah,
know.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
This is I imagine that this is going to be, hey, we found a what do they call the planets that are habitable?
Moon.
No. What do they call them? Exoplanets?
Well, exoplanets are planets outside of the solar system, I believe.
What's the one that you can...
Goldilocks zone.
Sure. Okay, that... I think they're going to announce that they have potentially found something like that and that they are beginning to draw plans to send a probe or something.
That would take forever, man. Okay, we'll see. We will see. This time next week,
everything is a celebration to them because it's all new, right?
True. Except, though, that it's still science and they're still getting information about it. So I don't know. It must be big if they're wanting to have some sort of broadcast for this.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, Kyle, speaking of science, Disney, of all people, has developed a method for wirelessly powering an entire room. Now, that sounds awesome, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It does, right? The folks at Disney Research have revealed that they have successfully built a method to provide full coverage of an average room and power all the devices one might need wirelessly.
It seems like it would be a complete game changer. Can you imagine in the room right now, the one you're sitting in, if you didn't have to do anything, you look at your phone, 100% battery.
Right. And I didn't have to plug anything into the wall.
You never did. You don't have to worry about that.
That would be cool.
It's just there.
Wouldn't that mean that everything has to have a battery then?
No, not necessarily. Things that remain in the room wouldn't need a battery. Television doesn't need a battery.
I'm
going to
tell you how this works, Kyle.
Microwave doesn't need a battery.
So here we go. The room needs to be specifically built or specially built, in fact, to provide the wireless power. That means that the walls are made of aluminum panels and there's a big, ugly copper pipe right in the middle going from floor to ceiling.
Okay. That's pretty much what my house looks like right now.
Okay. In the middle of the pole, there's a section that has been removed and 15 capacitors have been installed. This sets the resonant frequency and isolates electric fields that are being fed into the room from a single generator outputting a tone at 1.32 megahertz. I don't know if you can hear it. Probably super low. Yeah, okay. Once the system is fired up, the room is blanketed in a magnetic field and receiving coil that's tuned to resonate at the same frequency powers that the devices are in the room.
Huh.
Okay, what?
No, I'm following along. Please continue.
That 1900 watts of power we mentioned falls within the federal guidelines for specific absorption rate, which is the SAR. As its own acronym.
Okay.
Which is a measure of the energy a human body can absorb before it becomes dangerous.
Oh, no. Wait, okay.
Now, hold on. Before you start talking, the thing is, the devices in the room need to be using that energy or it could become a hazard. Also, people shouldn't stand closer than 46 centimeters to the pole. Those problems could be resolved with a more reactive system and some interior design. But yeah, if you don't have devices in the room that are absorbing the power, your body will absorb the power and you'll explode, I think, like Mr. Manhattan.
Or I Dr. got Manhattan. The power! Boy, oh boy. This sounds terrible. But
initially it sounded awesome.
So cool at the same time. So the devices could be powered while on your body, maybe. Or they could be powered. They would have to be. I mean, otherwise, your body is the one absorbing all that energy. I would be curious. I want to see this working. I want to see this working. Disney, of all people, to be the ones to put this together. This has got to be some technology that they're wanting to put into rides and stuff, right? It's got to be something like that. Or you walk into the Disneyland hotel and it stuff just starts charging. Or while you're sleeping, they cook you. One of the two. One of the two. It's like a barbecue, but a lot slower. Speaking of really terrible ideas for your house, Kenny, August, they are at the cusp of some really awful ideas right now. Let me tell you why. They suggest that you should unlock your front door with your voice, with your Amazon Echo, when you're chopping onions. I'm gonna summarize
how specific
that whole story by just looking at the image that they provided TheVerge.com.
Okay.
You've got to say, I mean, you'll be able to unlock this door and lock the door with your voice. That's the important part, right?
Yes, of course.
Wow, this can't be a good idea. The Echo cannot tell the difference between my voice. There's no voice print technology on the Echo for it to say, hey, that does sound like the person who could possibly have the keys actually in their hand from you're just a random person that came off the street that saw me yelling into my front door the other day. And now you're in my house taking my things.
Or there's an open window
or
where somebody can yell at your Alexa. Oh, sorry.
I've been purposefully saying Echo.
Sorry, that's my bad.
You have done a baddie.
Can I say Alex?
Alex A. good old Alex A. I think it was Alex M for Mac, but that's a completely different.
But they do mention in the article, why would you go with the example of, hey, you can unlock your door while you're chopping onions, and not, hey, if you have a hard time getting to the door or you are immobile inside your house, use that example maybe. Right. Or you have a 3-story house and the front door is at the bottom and you're at the top. Use that example. Something other than you're making dinner, you're chopping onions, unlock the door with your voice because you're crying.
Ask August to unlock my door, please.
Wait, is that the thing that you have to say? Is there like a formula you have to say?
You do, yes. You have to ask August to unlock the door.
Unlock my door?
No, negative. You have not experienced the sentence structure that you need to formulate in order to make these things work on the Echo.
Okay, but the Google Home is way better at it.
Oh, yes. Much, much, much better, especially most of the home automation. But that's beside the point. Let's talk about what this person is doing with these onions.
you want to paint a picture?
I will. So they're leaning over the counter, looking at, I guess, an onion that they're chopping. Let's just say yes. That's what they're doing.
I don't think so. They're cutting like a sausage or something.
It could be a sausage. I don't know. But we're going to tell you how the sausage was made. She's taking a knife to whatever it is she's cutting because I can't really see. But there are a total of at least 3 onions in this image. Mm-hmm. So she's either making liver and onions, which she could be cutting some liver and just making a whole boatload of onions.
Right.
Or she's making soup for 50. No one needs 3 onions for whatever dish they're making.
Wait, Kyle, before you go on, before the show started, I sent you a picture of people wrapping bacon around onion rings.
You think that's
maybe she's making bacon wrapped onion rings?
You think so?
I hope so. I'd come over to her house for that.
See, I would be more concerned with touching the bacon and not being able to unlock the door than touching the onions and not being able to unlock the door.
I agree right there. If you have, if you're preparing raw meat or you're preparing something with eggs or something like that and it gets all over your hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What you need to do is just wrap the August in bacon and then try and open the door that way. It's both a lubricant and a curing mechanism. It's good.
Oh, okay.
It's really, really right. good.
I'm going to move on, Kyle.
Please.
I'm not going to try to segue either.
Nope.
Los Angeles is ranked number one for traffic congestion. Sorry, not condensation. Congestion in the world. Ranked number one in the world, according to a new study.
I feel like we are number one in traffic condensation right now. We've had some really terrible weather over the last couple
of days. It's raining everywhere.
It's been really bad.
It has been determined that drivers have spent 104 hours in congestion in 2016 during peak time periods.
Okay.
I don't really know what that means.
Throughout the year, I think, on average. So it's got the highest average in congestion time per year. Okay. That's what it seems like.
Okay, that makes sense.
There's an article over on TheVerge.com. It'll be in the show notes. You can go check it out and read it if you'd like.
But Moscow is not far behind with 91.
Now, you rank in here, what? One, is that's two, three. You're number four.
The Bay Area, California Bay Area is number four with 83 hours.
That's 20 less.
Yeah, 21.
Whatever it takes. It doesn't matter.
Now, I do want to point out one of these other statistics. The direct and indirect costs of gridlock in 2016 was $300 billion with an average of $1,400 per driver.
Of just sitting there?
Of just sitting in traffic doing nothing.
Now, see, you're part of the problem, I think.
Let's
get down to brass tacks. Kenny,
okay,
you're part of the problem. You're the one.
How so?
For the rest of us that don't sit in traffic, I haven't been in any traffic this year at all.
Oh, great.
Zero. Great. I take a train.
Oh,
which is probably environmentally worse than actually driving a car the same distance, but that doesn't matter.
Okay.
You are bringing up the average for the rest of us sitting in traffic. Because you decide, hey, I'm going to leave super early in the morning. And then you just sit. You waste $1,400 per yourself. And you just sit there.
Why does that make me part of the problem? I don't think that's part of the problem. I think that the problem is the idiot driver who decides, oh, I need to get from the far left lane off this exit. And I have about 12 feet to do so. I might as well just start merging now. And they cut over really quickly, cause everyone to slow down. And the slowdown just causes a huge collapse in traffic. Mm-hmm. And it's a domino effect. And it's the worst kind because there's no dominoes in traffic.
Oh, yeah. My domino effect is completely different. It definitely has to do with the number three. But that's something different.
I
don't know. It's not surprising, I think, here that Los Angeles is ranked number one. I was just mostly surprised to see San Francisco ranked number four on this list. So, yeah,
right after New York.
That's right.
Yeah.
I know a whole lot about New York, meaning zero. Kenny, speaking of cars, Chevy or Chevrolet.
Hold on.
Hard T.
Can I point something out? It really didn't dawn on me until about 2 weeks ago when I was looking at the back of a truck while I was sitting in traffic and the back of the truck said Chevrolet.
Uh-huh.
That it's Chevrolet, not Chevrolet. It's Chevrolet.
You thought the O was before the R?
Well, that's the way you say it. Chevrolet.
Oh,
right?
No. Chevrolet is how you say it.
I never... Well, yeah, I don't say it that way. I say Chevrolet. Like everyone says Chevrolet.
Oh my gosh. Often. How often do you say Chevrolet?
I guess I don't. I guess I don't say it that much.
We've been apart for way too long.
Well, let's just keep saying Chevy.
Okay, Chevy.
Chevy Chase.
Chevelle announced that its new 2017 diesel cruise. Do you have any other ways of saying that one? Creuset?
Creuset?
Creuset. I'd love. I'd Chevrolet love. Creuset. It's a frisée and a crouton had a salad baby.
Okay.
The new 2017 diesel Cruise will get 52 miles to the gallon on the highway, making it the car with the best fuel economy among non-hybrid, non-electric models in America. Now,
that's awesome.
Pretty good, right? Pretty good. 52 mpg. It's a diesel, so you've got a diesel with that. But the important part, the important little statistic that I wanted to talk to you about here, you can get, according to Chevy, you can get an estimated 702 miles on the highway before it runs out of diesel.
702.
This is their words, by the way. Chevy says that this means the car can drive an estimated 702 miles on the highway before it runs out of diesel. So a number of things here that I need to talk to you about. One, never drive your car until it runs out of anything.
Right.
That sounds terrible. And two, 702, you as a professional squeeze everything out of your car MPG wise that you possibly can are going to try and hit that 700 mile marker and have only 2 miles left, maybe until your engine runs dry, which is a terrible idea. And
well, I think I could get terrible idea. I could get 703 on diesel fumes.
Exactly. Which is also, that's such a terrible idea too. Yeah. Why would you give people this number? It sounds pretty good. It would make the entire trek from down here to up where I need to go. One tank would be great.
I can make it. I think I can make it to Portland from where I'm at.
Oh, what?
I can make it to Portland, Oregon.
We need it.
700
miles. We need to try. Okay. All right. All right. So one of us is going to get a 2017 diesel Chevy. What was it?
Well, let me look it up on because I have the internet right in front of me.
Do you?
Maps.
When'd you get that?
A couple years ago.
Portland,
Oregon.
So stupid.
Portland or what?
Gan.
Gan. All right. Oh, it's only 650 miles, actually.
Oh, so we could make it.
So I can make it. In fact, I could make it. How much further would I have to go? Can I drag the thing? Let's see. Dragging it. 680, 690. Seven. It's too much. 702. Okay. 706, 704, 702. We are making it to right between Rocky Point, Washington, and Castle Rock, Washington.
Ah, Castle Rock. We need to get to Castle Rock.
We could almost make it to the Mount St. Helens Visitor Center.
Oh, okay. All right. We got to get up that mountain. I'm ready. Let's do this, please.
That's to drive 100% north. Oh, and there's traffic that we're hitting as well. So that's not necessarily the fastest, or I should say the most efficient.
So we just need to combine the hover bike with the diesel car with the city with the least amount of traffic. And then maybe we can squeeze out that 702 miles.
Oh man. I want to do this now.
Well,
ultra road trip.
So, no, we don't need a car, Kenny, where we're going.
Oh, what do we need?
Segway into the next segway.
Kyle, there's a report out there that step counting apps probably make people less healthy.
Yeah, we were talking about this, what, 2 months ago? You and the issue you were having with your Apple Watch, you're just not sure.
It sets this arbitrary goal for you to reach, but you don't really know what goes into it, right? You have a move goal or a step goal that you want to hit. Like, The article points out, let me go to the article here.
Sure.
There's a guy, Dr. Hager from Johns Hopkins University in the US. He says very few of the roughly 165,000 healthcare apps are actually based on any scientific evidence. That's good to know. Very few, meaning half?
Six. I don't know.
Six. Okay. Yeah. Well, Kyle, he also points out that the apps that encourage people to reach this goal, this 10,000 step goal, says it doesn't make any sense to have this minimum limit. He says some of you might wear Fitbits or something equivalent, and I bet every now and then it gives you this cool little message like you did 10,000 steps. But why is it important? What's so big about 10,000? Well, it turns out in 1960 in Japan, they figured out that the average Japanese man, when he walked 10,000 steps a day, burned something like 3,000 calories. And that is what they thought the average person should consume. So they picked 10,000 steps as a number. But why? Is that perfect for everybody? Is everybody the average Japanese man?
Yes. No. Yes. Yes. I am an average Japanese man.
Well, Kyle, he also says he thinks that apps should definitely be more that apps could definitely be doing more harm than good. He says that the apps are causing problems without any scientific evidence base. How do you know that any of these apps are good for you? They may even be harmful.
Okay.
And this is, let me point out the example that he uses, which is kind of bunk. He says, we all know that probably the more you exercise, the better it is for you. But if you are elderly or infirm, then this is not going to be good for you. What? That's the example you choose. Well, if you're an old person, you probably don't need to do 10,000 steps. It's going to kill you.
Duh.
Yeah, I don't think that the old people with Fitbits are going, I gotta hit my 10,000 steps.
You know, I broke both my legs trying to hit that 10,000 step goal.
But you did it.
But I did it. That's right. Now I feel healthy. Everything's good.
So his credibility is pretty good in the beginning, and then he goes, yeah, but if you're old or your legs don't work very well and you do 10,000 steps, it could be harmful. Yeah, no duh.
Oh, hey, I've got a quote actually from that person who came out with a report. Here is a direct quote from them.
Forget I said anything.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, they are very loud.
They're so loud. It's okay. It's all right. They just want to be heard. They actually have a 10,000 decibel goal for the day.
Oh, okay.
They want to be loud. I have some food news.
Food news.
Mississippi pot roast. Don't look it up.
Was that your wrestling name in high school?
No, don't look it up on Urban Dictionary.
Oh.
But I just heard about this yesterday, and I'm gonna make this today. It's basically a big old slab of meat. And then you put ranch dressing mix on top with a little bit of au jus and some butter. And then it gets nice and roasty. Never heard of this until yesterday. I'm going to make it today. I'm going to report back, and I'm excited. That's all I had to say about it.
Oh, okay.
You tweeted over the weekend, I believe, or was it yesterday? Gordon Ramsay. He spent the entire weekend roasting people's food on Twitter.
Wait, hold on. Roast as in made fun of, right?
As in, no.
He didn't actually take their food and roast it.
turning the, oh, hey, look. Oops, can't find the page you're looking for. That's good. That's it.
Of course.
It's a cute little cat, though. I like that.
Aw.
Yes, not cooked, not slowly cooked over a long period of time by Gordon Ramsay. Could be, might have been, but he was saying terrible things about people's food. I guess they would send photos and he would then judge it. How is this working?
What do you mean? How is it working?
What was he doing? Why did you enjoy it so much?
Well, the reason I enjoyed it is because I need this fix of Gordon Ramsay belittling people, and usually the medium is Kitchen Nightmares or Hell's Kitchen, you know, a TV show. But those shows are both off the air right now. So him going on Twitter and people submitting, hey, Gordon, how does this look? And he says, I want to throw up if I look at that anymore. Like, that's Yes, more of that, please. We need more of that in our society to bring us out of this dirge of despair.
Okay. All right. So you need the belittlement of people's foodstuffs.
Yes. Well, from somebody who really knows what they're doing.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Does that motivate you to cook better, or why in particular? You just like that he's angry.
I like that. The thing I like most about it is the people who submit their photos to him. Sometimes I can't tell if they're being serious of, hey, how'd I do? Like, I really want to impress you. Or if they're saying, look how dumb I am for making this. Please, you know, do something funny and say something about it.
Or I found this on the internet and it looks terrible. So please.
True. But I think that the case that is more common is people actually make something and they're like, hey, I'm looking for some critique, some constructive criticism, and he just rips them apart.
Why would you ever think that he's going to give you constructive criticism, right? Ever?
Unless you're really looking for that. You're looking for someone to really make fun of you and you just enjoy it and you just eat it up.
I'm not going to play it. I'm not going to play it. I have it here somewhere, but I'm not. I'm not going to play it.
Nice.
Something, though, that I will get deep into conversation with you about is over at firstwefeast.com. They've got the definitive ranking of fast food French fries, quadruple F.
Quadruple F.
And it starts here as soon as it loads.
Oh, come on.
With, I believe, as soon as it loads. Come, are you serious? It's taking forever. I'm sorry.
Of course it is.
They've got the definitive ranking of fast food French fries. Now, you probably have in your mind what you think is number one, right? I would assume, like, your favorite, your faves.
I don't know if I have. I don't know. It's tough because I like a bunch, and it depends on the situation.
Really? You're a fry connoisseur.
Yes, I'm a fry connoisseur.
Okay. All right. Now, you say connoisseur completely differently than I say it, but that's it might be because you're French, but I don't know why. What we're going to do is just tell you the name, tell you the number, and you tell me whether or not you've had it and what you thought. All right. Number 14, Five Guys.
That's number 14?
Yeah, 14.
I mean, they are kind of greasy and not crispy, and they complement the burger, though.
They're well known for their greasiness because they just go straight in that bag. They soak it up.
Now, like I said, there's a distinction, and there's the fries that can stand on their own, not literally stand on their own, but they, you know, you can just order some fries and that's all you need. And it's a great meal in and of itself. Right.
Sure.
I'm not saying that you should go out and only eat French fries everywhere.
I just can't have fries for a meal. That's all.
But there's also the fries that go really well with another item. Kind of like intersperse with a juicy burger and then you get a crispy fry or whatever. Yeah,
okay. Let's think about these fries on their own.
If
you only ordered them on their own. Okay. Number 13, In-N-Out.
Whoa, 13. That's not okay. All right, I already find fault with this dumb list. I hate it. I hate the list.
Boy.
Somebody messed up. I would ranking In-N-Out fries low.
I would have to agree. In-N-Out for me is number one.
Listeners, if you're not from the West Coast where there is an In-N-Out readily available, I'm sorry. Because
we'll send you a plane ticket right now.
Now, for all of those on the West Coast and you have had In-N-Out and you love their fries, you have to be as outraged as we are because that's crazy. 13th, right above Five Guys. No.
OK. All right. Let's continue and see how the rest of these make you feel. Number 12, Sonic.
I don't think I've ever had Sonic fries.
Are you serious?
I always get tater tots.
Okay. All right. That's okay. That's like going to Arby's and getting regular fries. Nobody does that.
Right.
Okay. All right. I understand. Sonic fries, they're real thick. Real
like
thick.
Like steak fries?
Like kind of not as large as steak fries. Larger than In-N-Out, smaller than steak fries.
Okay.
So just put it that way. So you've never had them. All right. That's fine. That's fine. Number 11, Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A?
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking, why can't they spell it correctly? Why does it have to be Chick F-I-L-A?
So you don't say fillet, I believe. Hard T.
Okay. Chevrolet. Everyone knows how to say Chevrolet. See, I said it right there.
So now we're gonna spell Chev, C-H-E-V dash F-I-L dash capital A. Chev fillet.
Chevrolet.
Chev fillet. Please put that into our... And there you go. Thank you. If you've never had these, I guess go try them. That's number 11. Number 10. Now, here's one that you might not have expected. KFC.
KFC has fries?
Kinda. They're more like potato wedges.
Oh, seasoned, yeah, those are actually not that bad.
Seasoned and fried potato wedges.
Yeah.
You get like three in a box, but you get them.
Yeah, that's true.
They are completely flavor packed, like so much flavor in the KFC. Oh, yeah,
so much seasoning on them.
Yes. Yeah. All those. It's at least 11 herbs and spices, I believe. Number 9, Burger King.
I actually like Burger King more than number 9. I would put them top 5.
Wow. Okay. All right. So you've had them before. You have them frequently.
Not frequently.
You're a fan.
I at least I remember them fondly. I look back on them as a good fry. Fry nostalgia.
Number 8, ones that I've never had. Steak and Shake.
Steak and Shake?
Steak and Shake. Never heard of it.
I've never even heard of that.
But it
looks... I've heard of Shake Shack.
It looks kind of like a Wingstop, maybe, of sorts.
Oh. Wingstop pretty, has terrible fries.
Pretty thin. Very crispy. What looks like to be very crispy.
Okay, great.
You could...
We don't know that. Move on.
Yeah, okay, all right. We don't know that. Number 7, Del Taco.
Whoa, how is Del Taco rated that far above In-N-Out?
I don't know. Del Taco.
Who made this list?
This is over at firstwefeast.com. Del Taco to me tastes like you dug into your freezer into a package of frozen crinkle cut French fries that you've kept in there for a year and a half. You dump all of the fries, all the remnants of the fries, and all of the frost bitten fries and all that freezer burn onto a tray and then put it in the oven for way too long. You forget about them. They get cold and soggy, and then you eat them anyway.
Yeah.
Speaking from experience, that's exactly what this tastes like. Number 6, Shake Shack.
Okay, that's the one I have heard of.
They're still crinkle cut, but never had them. I looks hear like that they're
made right.
They're real good. That's what I hear, but don't know. Never had them. Number 5, Popeyes.
Popeyes.
Yeah, the chicken place.
Yeah, I know. I know what it is. Not the
spinach place. Okay. All right. Just making sure we're on the same page.
Okay.
Spinach fries.
So
I guess they're lightly battered with some sort of wash.
Oh, so it's like fried chicken fries then.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
There you go. That's why they're so good then.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
They're probably terrible for you. If they're battered.
Well, they are also fried in chicken fat too.
Yeah, there you go.
No, they're not. Ugh. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. I don't think that's...
But you probably aren't far off.
Probably not. No, at least a little bit of chicken gets in there.
Okay.
Got that chicken twinge. Number 4, McDonald's.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I did have this argument with my wife about Why do people love McDonald's fries so much?
Welcome to the Morning Show Marriage Counseling Hour. We're going to talk about McDonald's French fries.
Now, we did agree, though. We at the end of this argument, we agreed. The reason that people love McDonald's fries so much, and the reason that you just can't stop eating them, is that it's like each fry doesn't pack enough fry into it, and so you need another one to get that fry satisfaction. But it's just ongoing. You need to keep eating them to continue enjoying one French fry.
So it's like you're trying to create a whole number or a prime number with French fry flavor.
Yeah.
And you're trying to hit that nice round number. You're trying to hit 10,000 right. steps, but with the French limit fry never flavor.
Hits, the limit right. never hits one.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
You know what
interesting.
I mean? So you just keep eating them until you hit the bottom of the cardboard and you lift it up to your face and you pour them down your face.
Sucking and you get down
all
that,
yeah. the rest of the salt to go in your mouth yep. and you go, what have I done?
Yeah. Well, here's what you've done. Number three, Carl's Jr.
I like Carl's Jr.
Also,
fries.
Also, I suppose known as Hardee's, I would guess.
Yeah.
They've Hardee's, be, Carl's Jr. Same fries. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. They are.
I really like their fries.
They're the lattice ones, the lattice fries, the waffle fries,
the crisp cut, the waffle
yeah.
fries.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one at least that they have pictured here, and the one that they are talking about. The quote unquote natural fries here are slightly worse than the ones that they will be talking about, but they want to highlight the waffle fries.
Okay, those are good.
Yeah, not bad. They look like they're breaded as well.
Mm. Probably a little bit.
Number two, I'm getting hungry. By the way, number two, Wendy's. Yeah.
Wendy's would be my number 14 or 13.
Really?
Wendy's fries are the worst.
Now, you want to dip it in that Frosty, though.
Yeah, that's good. But that's well, no. But we already decided that a fry, it's the fries on their own.
On its own. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, there's no addition here.
Well, it says
so maybe ketchup or something.
Well, we're not going to talk about that. Back in 2010, nope. Wendy's changed their recipe from the standard fast food matchstick to a thick cut skin on fry. Have you had it since 2010? I don't know if I have.
Oh yeah. And I was about to get to the point where every time that I go to a Wendy's, they give me the oldest, soggiest, sorriest examples of a French fry ever, ever. And it turns me off from ever wanting Wendy's again, but somehow I keep going back.
Yeah.
But it's a case of the Wendy's. It must be the Wendy's in the Central Valley just don't get enough foot traffic or car traffic or traffic at all.
Yeah.
To warrant them.
They're really low on that traffic list.
Yeah. But they don't warrant them making fresh French fries all the time. And so they'd probably just have a stock of French fries sitting under a warmer that were made an hour ago. And I just get a scoop of them into a piece of cardboard and that's it. And it's awful. It's awful. I never, you know what? If I got Wendy's French fries and a hamburger or a chicken, something or other from Wendy's, I would eat the sandwich and I rarely touch the fries at all because just looking at them makes me sad.
You go make a bird friend and you share those fries with a bird friend and watch them
find
slowly
a school of pigeons and I toss them at them.
Slowly expand from the inside.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the number one, the one we've been waiting for. Number one French fry, according to firstwefeast.com, Arby's.
Arby's.
We have the French fries.
Arby's, yeah, Arby's curly fries. Is that what they're going with?
That is correct. And of course, in this image, you see the single most ideal curly fry, which is the inside tube of the curly fry maker, where the fry itself does not separate from the curl above it. It is
it's
one
a thick
single thick
it's like a cut of a potato. You're getting like half a potato covered in some a potato batter.
Core. It's a core of a potato just covered in batter. It's so good. Yeah. Number one, Arby's.
I wouldn't necessarily put Arby's at number one.
Yeah.
But these are good fries. Weirdly missing is like Jack in the Box. I know that's not really a totally national food chain.
Yeah.
But neither are some of these.
Yeah, neither are number 13. And yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. And Jack in the Box fries are good. Regular and curly fries are good. I can't believe the absolute monstrosity of a ranking that they gave In-N-Out. Number 13. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't believe
it. What? 13? Now, I read the little description that they gave.
Okay.
And they call them single fried, undersalted, mealy excuses for French fries.
Oh.
I don't know what experience they had getting In-N-Out fries, are the tastiest, freshest, they're just the best.
It tastes like you're putting your face into the ground and using your teeth to find a potato and then frying it directly in your mouth.
Yeah.
And consuming the potato. That is the In-N-Out experience. It's fine.
Apparently.
Some people just don't like it, and that's okay. That's fine. You know what they can do?
What's that?
They can go to the show notes.
Oh.
For this episode. Goodstuff.fm. And they can check out our list that we will have there of our French fry, our definitive French fry rankings. Because I think now that you've described which ones you like and why you like them and the ones that are missing, I'm ready to put that on there.
Mm-hmm.
You can also, you would need to follow us on Twitter because one, things are going to look a little different. And two, you're probably really confused when this episode showed up that nothing looks the way it used to.
What?
We've got new artwork for this show. It's a slight rebrand and something we wanted to try. So let us know what you think on Twitter, Morning Show AM. I am Dog Burps. Kenny is Pizza Robotics. Follow us, send us your feelings, and send us your number one French fry. Please.
Yes, please.
Go over to goodstuff.fm, check out the other great shows we have as well, and that's all I've got for the day.
All right.
Enjoy yourself, please, and have a French fry on me. Not on me, but
no,
for me.
We can't buy your French fries, guys.
I can't. I really can't.
We may not know what we're doing, but at least we have a good time doing it.